And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
With mid-August slipping past us, summer's heading towards a wrap. So now's the time to get out and grab whatever you can of what's left and make the most of it. We're going to talk about some creative ways to enjoy your time outdoors and visit an old friend to see how he's doing. It's all coming up when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
There's a strange irony in the news these days. The good news is that the world is accepting global warming as real. The good news is that people are awakening to the fact that we are seriously impacting our Earth, lopping off whole mountaintops for coal, witnessing more frequent oil spills all over the Earth. It's good that we are aware of these factors. We're making progress. So, to celebrate today, we're taking an excursion into some fun realms. We start off heading to Manhattan to talk with Lincoln Kareem, who is a central player in the saga of Pale Male, the red-tailed hawk of New York City. The reaction worldwide to the destruction of Pale Male's nest was enormous. People built him a new safe place to reconstruct his nest. So how are things going for Pale Male? That's coming up following the news. Then in segment two, digital photography has really changed the nature of photography. I'm sure most of you love your new digital cameras. It never hurts to get a few pointers, though, from an expert on how to make your photos come to life. We talked to a Kodak expert who has a lot of simple pointers to better photos. And then in segment three, some of the most listened to segments in the archives are the special drawing and art features I've done over the past years. So, it's time for another segment, and this time, I cover 5 secrets to better nature drawing. So get out your pencils and sketch pads, because these are simple techniques that will help anyone draw anything. And so, with a great late summer tribute to the creative spirit on its way, we'd best get on with today's news. So now, the news. Oil spills keep making the news. A Japanese tanker lost about 1.4 million gallons of crude oil into the eastern Indian Ocean following the collision with a large cargo ship. The spill took place 300 miles off the west coast of India's Nicobar Islands. The ship itself was carrying 77.6 million gallons of crude. The largest spill ever recorded, of course, was the Exxon Valdez, which lost 11 million gallons of crude off the coast of Alaska in 1989. Meanwhile, the Philippines are sending ships towards the central island of Guaymas to assess and hopefully stem the impact of the country's likely largest oil spill. Aerial surveys estimate that the spill is covering fully 15 square nautical miles as a result of 2 million liters of crude that have already leaked into the oceans. This is the second such spill in the last 8 months. Spain is feeling the results of the driest year on record, resulting in water reserves falling to their lowest point ever recorded. Some of the reserves are at 43.9% of capacity. Therefore, irrigation water is being rationed in parts of the country, which is expected to impact Spain's agricultural output. As well, the power industry is having to cut back on electric power generation, which is impacting the economic stability of the region. Late summer rains are expected to fall this week, but generally have little effect on replenishing the seriously low levels in the nation's water reservoirs. Too much of a good thing can be bad. That seems to be the assessment of botanist David Taylor of the U.S. Forest Service, who is monitoring the levels of poaching of slippery elm bark from trees primarily in the Daniel Boone forests of Kentucky. Slippery elm bark is a naturally soothing throat remedy which gained its legends in the deep woods by backcountry folk. But the $23 billion herbal industry unfortunately has its greedy practitioners who are poaching the bark from trees to meet the needs of millions of users of this wonder elixir. Stripping bark results in the death of the tree. Agents are beginning to use sophisticated tagging approaches to help track illegally harvested elm bark. Perhaps the biggest setback from this abuse is the damaged legacy of earth-friendly remedies associated with natural medicine. If you know of anyone involved in illegal harvesting of any natural plant, tree, or shrub, report him or her to a Forest Service representative immediately. It may be time to stock up on some fresh ginkgo biloba lozenges, which hold the claim for being a very effective mind and memory strengthener, as newly negotiated definitions of what constitutes planets is promising to raise the number from 9, which we all manage to remember, to 12, and hold on, ultimately, up to 53 members of the solar system. In the emerging new solar systemics, Pluto will be joined by 3 other planets, namely Ceres, Charon, and UB313, not necessarily in that order. So the new planetary lineup would read as follows. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Ceres, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Charon, and UB313, which had been named Xena, but will likely find a more astronomically correct appellation in the years ahead. And that's the news. And a reminder, some exciting new features are coming up in the weeks ahead. Tune in. And now we look back a bit. It's time we track on a story that captivated the world in a cold December in 2004. One of the things I like to do on the Wild Side News is to make sure that when we introduce an interesting story that we follow up and find out what's happening, because that's what happens in life and nature. And there was a story that we covered about a red-tailed hawk in New York City, the legendary pale male. And also part of that story, a huge part of that story, was probably the world's largest fan of pale male, and that's Lincoln Kareem, who got himself very much involved right in the middle of this saga of pale male. Lincoln, welcome back to the Wild Side News.
Thank you for having me.
Just for listeners who maybe are unfamiliar with the story of pale male, why don't you give a real quick history of what of pale male and sort of your relationship to pale male?
Pale male is a red-tailed hawk that was discovered in Central Park in 1991. I lived in New York City at the time, but I never really followed him. I didn't know anything about him. And I was busy doing other things, so I never bumped into him, so to speak. I'm not a big television fan, or didn't find out about him until very late, until about the year 2000. And that's when I got involved. Pale male is just a hawk that was on his migratory path from north to south in 1991, when he was a very young hawk, probably less than a year old, decided to stay in Central Park, found a good food supply, and he's been here ever since.
You sort of came across pale male, people paid attention to it, but then you got very involved in really bringing the story of pale male to the visitors and residents of New York City as you'd be going through Central Park. Talk about how that came about.
I'm definitely a big fan of pale male, and I never really planned to become such a big fan. It's almost like an obsession now, even if obsession is a pretty tough word. Many people who follow him, you know, just through the season. Some of them think of him as a novelty. Some of them use him as a centerpiece to socialize on and stuff. But I think I see more than just a novelty in him. I see it from all different angles. I even see him as a Native American coming back to Manhattan. You know, it's all different things that I really can't put into words. But basically, he's just one beautiful creature that I love to look at every day.
Well, he took up residence high up on a building in New York, and that's where kind of the story took a turn. You began to really focus on Pale Male with a very high-power telescope and camera, began to follow his actions as he began to set up a nest and find a mate on a ledge in New York City. Talk about that, too.
Yes, part of the reason why he's so popular, because he does have 22 chicks so far, and they are building nests on various places in New York City, but none of them could get the fame of him because of this particular building. It's a very ritzy building on Fifth Avenue, and it's sort of almost like a centerpiece around what is called a model sailboat pond in Central Park. It's at 74th Street and Fifth Avenue. A lot of very famous people live in this building, and yes, a telescope that I set up helped to introduce more people to him. And it's no one passes by that pond these days without pointing up and saying that's where the hawk nest lived. That's where that hawk nest resides.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, of course, there was a day when the residents and owners of the building decided that they'd had enough of this bird, and they destroyed the nest.
Right. This nest has been active for 11 years, and every year it's almost like clockwork. He has chicks. They fly out. Everyone comes out. They watch their chicks grow up. It's been part of life in New York City. And for some reason, which threw everyone off, on December 7th, 2004, I received a call one rainy day when no one was looking at this nest. I was in a coffee shop at that time. And I got a call from someone who lives just north of this nest building telling me that there are workmen on the building removing the nest. I ran straight over without any cameras or anything, and it has to be one of the saddest moments in my life to actually look up there and see that nest being destroyed. Nobody knows why they took it down, and I could give you reasons, but we'd never really know why. But it just seems that they got fed up of all the attention that this nest was bringing, and decided to take it down. And I believe they thought nothing would come out of it, just a few people grumbling, and that was going to be the end. But
well, they sure miscalculated there.
It was definitely a big miscalculation.
Yeah, because literally the story went around the world.
It definitely went around the world, and people just got involved. People started writing in. Everyone realized maybe they were awakened to what we are doing to animals all around the world, destroying their homes and stuff, and Pale Male's nest destruction was that catalyst to make more and more people aware of it. And we had to fight for this one nest. And, of course, you know, I got arrested and stuff for yelling and screaming, unfairly, I believe, even if I don't want to talk about that now. But he got his nest back. However, since that nest was rebuilt, he did have eggs for 2 years in a row, and they never hatched.
That's what I wanted to find out, is what's happened since you know, because they did build a beautiful, it really was quite interesting how it came about.
It's beautiful. It's not beautiful at all to me, because that nest structure that they built, they did not listen to me. I gave them 12 high-resolution images from every angle that I had of that original nest, and I begged them to put it back originally as it was before, and they swore that they're going to build it better than it was before. Stronger, better, more ventilated, and yeah, it probably looks architecturally better, but it's not. For 2 years now, the eggs weren't hatching.
Mm. Well, that's what I want to find out. Just as I say, some people aren't familiar with the story. One of New York's premier architects designed a metal structure, a steel structure, but the question then was, what will happen? So that's where I want to pick up the story, and that is that he has come back and built nests and brought in a mate. Now tell us what's been going on.
The nest was rebuilt once that structure was put in place and once all the scaffolding and stuff was removed within hours of it going back up, he started building it back. In fact, he never stopped rebuilding from the day it was removed. So the nest was rebuilt. They had eggs in 2005. They did not hatch. He had eggs in 2006. They did not hatch. Nobody knows why. And he's not complaining. He's continuing. Lola, who was his mate since 2002, is still his mate, and they're still together. And I don't know what will happen next, honestly.
Mm-hmm. So they are still residents now, but for whatever reason it is, the eggs aren't coming to...
Eggs aren't hatching. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're freezing. Nobody really knows what is happening. Mm-hmm. The New York City Audubon Society, who is not really a big fan of mine, is spreading or trying to indicate that he might be sterile. I refuse to accept that. It could be true. I don't know. But it's unforgivable for saying something like that about him. And as I said, even if it might be true, it's just too much of a coincidence that all of a sudden his nest was destroyed and all of a sudden he becomes sterile.
I guess we don't have the answer, do we?
We do not.
Yeah.
The beautiful part about it is that he's still around. Lola is still around. They're still sleeping most nights in the same tree together. They fly together, and it's just beautiful to watch them every day.
Now whether
the eggs hatch or not, still something to watch every day.
Mm-hmm. That is the update. So although efforts were made to try to bring the nest back to its original location with this cage of sorts, unfortunately, there are no offspring since that time.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But you keep busy photographing, and I'd actually like to focus on that because I revisited your website, and Lincoln, I'm absolutely stunned at what a magnificent photographer you are. You are truly the website, and by the way, let's give that website now so that people who may be listening even may be able to go there and look at some of the images.
It's palemale.com, palemale.com.
You have literally a collection on your website of absolutely exquisite photographs going back in time with Pale Mail that tells the story in so many ways. And I've looked at a lot of photographs in my life, and you have some spectacular photographs of Pale Mail in the city, as well as the offspring and other elements. I encourage people to take a look. Talk a little bit about how you spend your time now. You're probably expanding out your interest in the offspring and following them as well.
Yeah, I try my best to visit other nests of his offspring and their babies and stuff like that. However, it takes a toll on me, and I try to limit it as much as I can and spend more time with him. I don't want people to forget about him, and even if he had babies, even up to this year, he had grandchildren, which were born in the St. John the Divine Cathedral up at 113th Street. And I try to go up there as much as possible, but I don't want to distract from him, you know, purely on the sake that there's a nest with babies in it. I want people to realize that babies aren't everything. And he still has a lot to teach and learn, this Pale Male, and we don't know how long he's going to be around. To me, he'd always be around, but I try to spend as much time with him as much as I can. And as far as the photography is concerned, I don't consider myself any great photographer.
Well, I beg to differ. You have some great photographs on your website.
They are great, and And I'm not trying to be overly modest or anything, but the reason why they're great is because I concentrate on him himself. I don't try to read magazines and try to copy other people. I just want to photograph him exactly how I see him. I don't use any flash. I don't use any compositing, no photoshopping or anything like that, just natural light. I photograph him in the rain and the snow, in the heat, in the any sort of weather that I find. Exactly how I find him is exactly how I photograph him. And he just brings out the photograph. It's hardly anything to do with me.
Well, you've watched Pale Male in more than anybody else in the world. There's no doubt about that. And I'm just curious, in all of that time, if there have been moments where he's done something that you found surprising or that brought special meaning to your life. I'd love to know how this long-term relationship with this bird is beginning to really affect you.
Sometimes I try, and people believe that we have some sort of relationship. In a fantasy world, we do. In reality, he is totally isolated, I believe. And I love that. He should not try to communicate with us at all because we have nothing to tell him. He has enough to tell us, and that is what I try to do. I try to listen to him and watch him. And yet, every day I go out there, even if it's spots that I've photographed a million times before, every day I get a new picture. Every day I see something different about him. I see him playing in puddles. I see him actually like a little kid stomping on puddles of water and making splashes. I see when it rains, he does not shelter the rain. He goes to the top of the trees and open his wings to get the rain beating down on him. It's really, really beautiful to watch. Every day I get a completely different photograph that I have not had before. It's never boring. I learn something new about him every day, and even if it means rushing up to just see him perched on a branch that I've seen so many times before, it's getting me away from the drudgery of regular life in New York City. Mm-hmm. And that's a plus every single day.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk about what you've learned about Pale Male as a being, because I'm prepared to, I'm with you, I believe that these are individuals and they have their own personalities.
He's certainly an individual. Life in New York City, just walk in the street. I try not to be too bitter about human beings. And I am a human being. I try not to forget that. But you look around, everyone on the subway has an iPod plugged into their ear. They wear dark glasses. They smoke cigarettes. They drop it on the street. They forget that, you know, we live on this earth. And these animals never do. Everything they do with the earth, even if they eat off the earth, even if they pick branches off a tree to build their nest, they live and they love the earth. They would never do anything to destroy it. You would never see Pale Male or any animal, including bacteria, destroy the earth maliciously like we do, you know, to continue living. And that's what we do every day. We make a hobby out of it. We chop down trees for no reason. We kill animals for no reason. We kill them for sport. And no animal that I've ever seen in my life do this. Some people say beavers cut trees down unnecessarily, and that is just so ridiculous to say. Whatever they do, even if they chop those trees down, it's for some good reason, unlike us. And that is what they have to teach. Look at them. Look at roaches on the street. Look at rats in the subway. They're not destroying anything. They're just living in tune with the earth, unlike us. And that is what I learn, and that's what I try to teach people around me. Anyone who scorns a rat or a cockroach or other, you know, unpopular animals, I try to tell them they're doing something wholesome and noble.
They're not asking.
What we're doing, smoking cigarettes, dropping it in the street, there's nothing good about that. Nothing good comes out of something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not a lot of politics involved in the wild creatures trying to hack out their existence. I'm sure a lot of people would be curious, how does Pale Male survive? What does he eat? What is his life like?
His main diet are rats. And in order of his popular foods, it will be rats, pigeons, mice, squirrels, and small birds. On one occasion, and I did not witness it myself, but some credible person told me once he ate a mallet, a turtle pond. But that has to be once in 15 years.
Well, now you're still camped out in the park quite a bit with your camera and your telescope?
Not the telescope. I bring the telescope is too big, so I bring it out only in springtime when his when the nest is active.
Mm-hmm.
But every day of the year, I go with my regular lens. It's a Canon 400 millimeter lens, and because he moves a lot. And the telescope is too big to follow him with that, and unnecessary too.
Now, do you think Pale Male has come to recognize you as a special friend in some respect?
I make a lot of eye contact with him, and as I said, in my little fantasy world, maybe we do have some sort of relationship. But a lot of times, I'm alone with him, and I'm just like maybe 11 yards away from him. And I look around to see if anyone is watching, and then I say, hey, you know, I try to talk to him. And I'd be like, hey, pal, it's me. And he completely ignores me.
I didn't want to hear that.
And it feels sad at first, and then it feels good.
Yeah.
Because, God forbid, you want this hawk coming and sitting on my camera and being just a circus animal, you know. So it actually feels really good. Know that he completely ignores me at times like that. And, you know, let it just be fantasy. Let him just live his world and let me just be able to just follow him and watch him and try to learn from him.
In reality, that's probably how you get the most out of it, is to let Pale Male be Pale Male.
You know, if one day there's a story that, hey, you know, Pale Male actually sat in Lincoln's camera and was actually looking at him and putting his wing over his head, of course, it will be a novelty once, and then it will be, oh, yeah, that's a circus animal, Pale Male.
Mm.
You know, I don't want that at all. It's how it is. It's beautiful.
Well, it's a very unique story, the relationship of Lincoln Kareem with Pale Male, and it's an ongoing story. And you know what, Lincoln, we're going to call you on a regular basis through time here just to get updates.
You need to come to New York one day.
Actually, I'm going to be in New York in September, so I will call you. And I'll try to meet you in the park.
I'd look forward to that.
That would be great. Well, listen, Lincoln Kareem, again, give your website.
It's palemale.com, palemale.com.
I encourage anybody and everybody to take a look at the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful images that capture the whole history of Pale Male with Lincoln Kareem. Lincoln, thanks so much for
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
There's something to be said about being wild and free as Pale Male flies around his world with no restrictions while we... Well, it's time to enjoy the freedoms we have, and this next segment is a tribute to capturing our memories. Don't go away.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.